Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you once again, and it's another day the Lord has given us. Jesus is alive and well, and he is working on the earth. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And you know, all of us go through times of trouble. And it seems like recently I've had my share of it. And I can say that I believe in reading the Bible systematically. But sometimes I just open it up. And just a couple times recently, it's amazing. I just opened it up. My eyes went to certain verses. In both cases, they were verses that God spoke to me in such an unusual way that it just astounded me, because I thought, why, the Lord knows everything, and it's not just a theological concept, but he knows me, and he knows what I'm thinking, and he's just talking to me right here through this scripture verse. And so I thank the Lord for that, and I praise and glorify and honor him for that. But our program is about upholding the Bible as the Word of God. And I try to make this clear, but in Christianity today, we have so many people, they talk like they have the Bible, but they do not believe that they actually have a Bible that they can look at that is absolutely true. James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and the perfect law of liberty is the Word of God. We can look at it. Another place it talks about holding it. We can hold it. And I'm looking at a King James Bible, and it's called The Perfect Law of Liberty, and we can hold it. I'm holding it right now. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart. We have it in our heart. The Bible says the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. Thy word have I hid in my heart. And it's something we have. And yet at one point, the people say, talk like they have it, but then they don't believe they really have it. We believe that we really have it in the authorized King James Bible. And don't get me wrong, I believe that people have it in other languages also. They have the true Word of God. And the King James translators have put something there that is often misunderstood, misinterpreted, because they said that other translations of the Word of God. Well, sure they are. And they base their translation of the King James Bible on other translations. For instance, the italic text, the Koine Greek text, the Syriac Peshitta text that had come down to them. And their readings were based directly on that, which was the Word of God. And so they had the Word of God in other languages, and I'm only mentioning some of the languages, but we are to believe that we have it today. But many of the modern versions are based on a corrupt text that is less than 1% of the evidence based from the ancient text. And the Bible says there are many that corrupt the Word of God, and yet at the same time, the true words of God will remain without being corrupted. There's some that corrupt counterfeits of it. And then at the same time, the Bible says the word of God liveth and abideth forever. We are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. And that's what our program is on. And we want to challenge, I think, particularly the ministers to investigate this subject. I have spent 30 years, and I'm telling you, I have read every book on this that I could get my hands on, pros and cons. And some of you need to investigate it, not based on what somebody that is ridiculing what we teach and mocking it, or what you learned when you were in college in the Greek department. You know, when I was taking Greek in college, they never even told us where the text we use came from. They don't talk about that, but they were using a corrupt text, and it wasn't until years later, after reading many books, that I found out that it was corrupt. But today we have it in the authorized King James Bible. But I'm going to ask Brother Davis here, who always gives a wonderful report, and it's on science in the King James Bible. And he's going to give his report, and then we'll continue on and talk some more.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, just a reminder that you can find out more about Bruce Musselman and at the website whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can learn more about Bruce Musselman there, about his program here, Where is God's Word? And also you can find some of the various materials that Bruce talks about from time to time linked there, as well as some other information, past programs you can find there as MP3 files. And you can also see some video clips of Bruce preaching and teaching on Bible history and church history, as well as even there's some clips of Bruce singing there. And that's all at whereisgodsword.com. And again, I'd like to share something from Job chapter 28 here in verse number 7. The Bible says, talking about God and what God has done, it says, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." And I just wanted to look real quick at that last phrase there, talking about the earth, "and hangeth the earth upon nothing." At the time this was written, that's not what the educated scientist of the day, I don't think they called them scientists at that time, but that's not what the equivalent of the educated scientist of the day thought. They thought that the earth was actually a flat disc sitting on the back. There's various theories, but what would have been probably prevalent around Job's day and all might have been that it was a flat disc sitting on the back of four elephants that in turn were supported by a giant tortoise or sea turtle swimming through the abyss of the universe. And I remember reading where some astronomer was talking about the earth essentially being held in place by the forces of gravity, and an older lady in the back said, "That's rubbish. It's actually a flat disc on the back of a turtle." And he said, "What's on the turtle?" And she said, "Well, you're very clever, but it's turtles all the way down." And that was the explanation. But the Bible plainly says here in Job chapter 26 and verse 7 that God has hung the earth upon nothing. And that's phenomenal when you think about it, because nobody could comprehend the idea at the time that the earth was hanging on nothing. It had to be supported on something, right?
Yeah, I saw this picture of the earth from space, you know, video. It's astounding, this great big ball just sitting there.
Right, right.
But nothing.
Yeah, there's some ancient North American Indian theories that it was on the back of a giant buffalo. And so there's been all kinds of things that has supposedly supported him. Even the ancient Greeks, remember, Atlas held the world supported on his shoulders. What Atlas was standing on, I'm not sure, but he supported the world on his shoulders. That's why we call a book of maps an atlas today. But here's the thing. We've now found out that all the forces of gravity, as the sun's gravity and the various planets and everything like that, and the other stars that make up the Milky Way galaxy, all of those forces pushing against each other, the best way to describe it by analogy would be if you've ever managed to float something on a magnet. You know how you take a magnet, and especially if you've got those little refrigerator magnets that are round, and kids love to play with those sometimes because you try to put one magnet on top of the other and it flips it off and flips it over. But if you position things just right, I've seen where they'll actually levitate something on a magnetic field and it'll just suspend it right there in the air on magnets. There's even trains, magnetic levitation for these trains. Now, magnetism is not gravity, but you can get the picture. We can see things suspended on nothing now by playing with various types of magnets. And it's very much the same thing, only looking at gravity. Gravitation is an attraction from a mass upon another mass. And you can see if it's being attracted from one direction. The moon attracts the water that's being held to the earth by the earth's gravity. The moon attracts it. And that's why we have tides. As the moon swings around the earth, the tides rise and fall because the moon's gravity is competing with the earth's gravity, and it causes the water to rise in the right position. And so gravity, the forces of gravity, holds the earth in its position, in the precise position that God placed it. And so the earth is hung upon nothing. There's no hook, there's no post, there's no elephant, there's no tortoise, there's no buffalo, and there's no serpent, there's no giant strong man. The earth is held upon nothing, just the forces of gravity that God created. How would Job, the oldest book in the Bible, have known that if it weren't for the fact that the Holy Spirit spoke, and as the Bible says, holy men of old spake, spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. There it is.
And that's great, and I thank you for that. At the beginning of the program, before we started, we were talking about this, you know, and we uphold the King James, and we were talking, and you made some statements about why this is an issue, you know, and I really like this. So could you tell us that right now?
I have to think of what we were saying when we were starting, but we were talking about why some people don't use different versions or don't think it's much of an issue. And I think I was talking about a little booklet that I just finished reading that I'm trying to get some copies of put out by the Trinitarian Bible Society in London, England, where they make several arguments in there. A lot of people don't think this is an issue. You were saying yourself that people say, well, all the major doctrines are there, even if there's a few minor differences, but there's a lot of so-called minor differences that add up, and they're not so minor, are they? But it fails the logic test because, obviously if one thing says something and another thing says something that's contradictory, they don't mean the same thing then. So logically, there is something there. And then there's the theological test. There's a number of things in the Bible. What is that passage in 1 John chapter 5 that gives us a very clear presentation of the Trinity, about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And you take that out, that's obviously attacking the theological positions of the Bible, the fact that the Trinity is attacked. And then there's the Christological test, the one that the many attacks on the person of Christ, on his deity, on his virgin birth, on many things associated with that. And that's just three things that suggest that, yes, this is an important issue.
Yeah, you know, the book was written, the things that are different are not the same. You know, there's a lot of thinking out there that they are, apparently. You know, these versions, they don't agree with one another in thousands of places. And so it is such an issue. And, you know, in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and its verse 6, it says this, Thou hast the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And what we have here is the Nicolaitans, there's a discussion as what they are in history books. They're not quite sure what this group was. But the word simply means to conquer the people. And, you know, when you have people on the radio and they're saying, well, the Greek says, now that word the Greek says, this is amazing, and when they say this, they usually give no argument. They correct the King James on the radio, you know, and they give no evidence for it. Don't you think if they're going to correct your Bible that they ought to have some evidence for their correction? But they never do, you know. They just make dogmatic statements. The Greek says, and right there it shows either ignorance, willful ignorance, or it shows some deception because there's dozens of Greek texts. And somebody says, well, that's confusing. Then how do you know? Well, there's one Greek text. It's called the Received Text. And that text is found in many different translations that have come down to us. And those translations are the Word of God. It's found in the Koine Greek text. It's found in the Syriac Peshitta text. And these texts have been translated into English. It's found in the Italic text. That's the Old Latin text. And then it's found in the ancient manuscripts and so on. And when it's found in the ancient Anglo-Saxon. You know, for instance, there's a Bible teacher, and I'm not, once in a while I will mention groups and people, but I'm not into that. Somebody called me up and they asked me, what do you think of somebody's ministry? I'm not here, and sometimes we will mention it, but I'm not here to analyze and correct different people's ministries. But if they talk about the Bible, we're going to mention them sometimes if they're on the other wrong side of the issue. And somebody asked me about an individual, and I said, well, that's not what we're here for. But anyway, we're trying to bring out there is differences in these different manuscripts that have been given. And I was listening last week to a fellow on the radio, and I believe he's a sincere man. He's a good man and so on. But he was saying that the Bible is the Word of God. And I would say, amen. And he was really strong. Every word is true. The Bible is infallible. We need to go by the Word of God. The words are true. They are the words of God. And then he has there, it comes out on the screen, he's quoting from a New American Standard, what they call Bible. It's not, it's a counterfeit. And I'm just thinking, well, what it does, it's destroying what he's saying because it's a contradiction because that's not a genuine Bible. If you promote the new ASV, you might as well, just as well, not criticize the Jehovah's Witness Bible because basically it's the same thing. You say, well, you're really off the hook now. Well, If you get a graph out there and you check it, and I did check it, and the problem is people have not done their homework and done their research. They're using the same corrupt text for the new ASV as they're using for the Jehovah's Witness Bible. And that's the Vatican, that's the Alexandrian manuscripts. You know, they call the Alexandrian manuscripts the eclectic text. This word simply means mixed because the 1% of the manuscripts that are the basis of the modern versions, they disagree with each other. And so the scholars call them the eclectic text because all the manuscripts disagree. For instance, what they call the oldest and best, and this is the Bibles put out by Constantine. They believe both of them came out from him through Eusebius of Caesarea, Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And they disagree in the Gospels in 3,000 words. Now, I know some of this, if you've been listening to these programs, you've heard this many times, but sometimes we got to repeat them, and a lot of people haven't heard this. So you have a text here that's come down to us, and basically it starts out with Origen. And Origen wanted to appeal to the Gnostic or to the intellectuals in Alexandria, Egypt. Origen lived between 185 and 254. And so he put his own revision of the scripture out. And some of the things that he thought the people wouldn't like particularly about the way that God originally had written it, he just changed. And he put it in philosophical language. Now, this brings me to another subject, and that is what is called textual science. And textual science is another just a lot of nonsense and baloney, because if somebody just set up some theorems which lead everybody to accept the Vatican Sinaiticus Bible, for instance, in this thing, in what they call textual science, which is just so much garbage. It's, you know, if you get into this stuff and really study it, you know, it's almost laughable, because for instance, they'll say in there, the most difficult reading is the best. Well, Origen, when he made his revision, he made it into classical Greek. The New Testament is written in Koine Greek, common Greek, and any Greek teacher will tell you that, the first year Greek. And he put it into classical Greek. So in textual criticism, they say the most difficult reading is the best. And then they'll say the shortest reading is the best because Origen took out a lot of words he didn't like. For instance, the names of Jesus have been eliminated in 100 places. And Origen made this corrupt text, then so-called St. Jerome, when he put out the Vulgate, he was a follower of Origen. Later on, he changed his mind, but he used the corrupt text that Origen had invented, and then he put out his text. Now, I got this from many different sources, many different books, and yet some of you preachers out there today, and all you have not done the research. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And today, you are scorning a text that has come down to us from the apostles when you scorn people that believe the King James, because they're basing it on the true text, and you're sitting in the seat of the scornful, but you're basing your thinking on the ungodly. Now, if you want to find out about it, read the some of the books by Ripplinger, New Age Bible Versions. Read that book, for instance, or some of the other books that are out. There's a lot of them out, but we just advertise some of the best. Now, you might start out with Chick Publications. They have a number of excellent books that are very easy to understand. And another book I would say was Hazardous Materials by Gail Ripplinger. Now, I have read the other side. I read, for instance, Metzger. So I was listening to a program on Ankerberg's program, and this guy's from Dallas Theological Seminary. They're saying, we really think Metzger is good. Metzger doesn't even believe the originals are perfect. I know I'm covering a lot of ground here today, but they're following what Metzger says, and soon they'll be teaching in Bible schools. He doesn't even believe what the apostles put out were perfect. And they're using his theories and so on to throw the text that has come down to us in thousands of manuscripts from Christ and the apostles. You say, well, you're not going by this cause. Hey, look at Kurt Ahlen. I read what he said. Kurt and Barbara Ahlen from Munster, Germany, they're considered leaders in textual criticism. They stated this. They said that the lectionaries that are used in the Greek Orthodox Church go right back to 100. Do you know that practically all these lectionaries and the scripture readings that they read at different times of the year in the Orthodox Church, those lectionaries back the King James. And Kurt Ahlen, if you want to follow so-called scholars, he points out that it goes right back to 100. And they back the King James readings. We're saying today, God said, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Jesus has told us in many scripture verses where it is. He says, I've honored my words above all my name. Now, the question comes up, why are preachers still doing this? Why are they still promoting these corrupt Bibles? The Bible says we're all to speak the same thing. And if you listen to preachers on the radio, I could name them, and I'm not here to put down preachers, but five different preachers are using five different Bibles that disagree with each other, coming from five different texts or a different group of texts. This is contrary to direct scripture. Now, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. The King James Bible has had 5 billion copies put out. And today, over 60% of the people are reading the King James Bible, Christians that read it every day. Now, I'm not talking about Christians that look at it once in a while. Christians that read it every day, they're reading that over all the other translations. Why? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. Webster put out one. You don't hear about that. Phillips put out one. You don't hardly hear about that anymore. Tischendorf, he put out one. Westcott and Hort, they put out a translation. And, I could just go on and on and on. There's about 200 have come and gone, disappear, and the NIV's on its way out. The new ASV's on its way out. But they'll put out another new one, you know. But the word of God liveth and abideth forever, and it comes back every generation. Why? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And he says, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. We believe that the King James Bible is all truth because the Holy Spirit has guided God's people into it. And correcting the Bible is correcting God. One famous Bible teacher says, the King James is the perfect word, is the word of God. When you read it, you're reading what God said, and yet he would correct it. Well, many preachers have said, it's the word of God. If it's the word of God, how can you correct it? You're correcting God then if you correct it, see? No, the words of the Lord are pure words. Is tried in the furnace seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God says, I've honored my word above all my name. This is the Bible, been honored by presidents, by scholars, by many, many people. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God bless us. We have it.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.